Welcome to the Change Your World Virtual Summit, put on today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce you my friend, Howard Berg, who is just not only has the best laugh in the world, the nicest guy I have ever met, but incredible expert and is the top fast speeder reader person in the world.
Yes.
So, Howard, why don't you just take it from here?
Okay, well, today's topic that I wanted to share with is on writing and writer's block. I know as speakers, one of the core skills we need is writing because we write speeches and presentations. And there's another little secret, which is the really successful speakers also create products. It's when you're a regular speaker, the only way you're making money is when you're on stage. And you're not always on stage, which means you're not always making money, which is a problem if you have a business. But if you have product, not only do you increase your profitability of each presentation several fold, you could also have continuity like trainings and things that people can subscribe to. So even if there isn't anything going on that week on stage, you're still making money. So I thought I would share some strategies today for writing and getting things done quicker, both for the purpose of creating new programs that they can present and for making new products that they can sell. That was what I wanted to talk about. So did you want to do it as an interview or did you just want me to talk? Because I could do either one. What works better for you?
Just talk. Go right for it.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I've been on 1,100 shows, so I try to be careful that I don't step on the interviewer when they have something to say. I thought I would first begin with what causes writer's block. And it's actually two problems that cause it. When we normally think, the way we express ourselves is what we do for a living. We speak. And you really don't have to go to school to learn how to talk. You may have to train to become a good talker, but certainly we don't require special training to learn how to express our ideas. When we write, we're using our hands to output our ideas as symbols, whether we're typing on a keyboard or we're using a pen or a pencil or back in the days of stylus and coughing on rock, we're taking symbols and encapsulating our ideas. And if that was a natural thing, most people would be able to write. But statistically, 90% of high school graduates, not dropouts, but graduates, can't write a paragraph. So writing certainly isn't something that's coming natural. And one of the problems is trying to make the switch between speaking our ideas and writing our ideas, using a different part of our brain, the part of the brain that moves the hands instead of our mouth. A second cause of writer's block is a conflict between the two parts of the brain, the left and the right. The left brain is your editor, your spell checker, your style checker. It's the part of your brain that looks at what you're writing and says, I don't think so, this isn't good enough, and hits the delete key. Well, the right side of your brain is predominantly your creative insight and doesn't really care much about spelling and grammar and style. It just has a story it wants to tell and wants to tell quickly and effectively. The problem most people experience is they write 10, 15, 20 lines. They look at what they wrote and they go, oh, my God, did I write that? And they hit the delete key. Now, back in the day, kind of dating myself, we didn't have a delete key. We threw it in the garbage and typed another page. But now people at least are saving trees when they make a mistake and they just hit a delete key. So one of the main goals then is how do I overcome that? How do I get the information out faster and more effectively and not constantly hit the delete key? And the first very simple strategy I want to share is don't write and edit at the same time, which is what most people think they should be doing. So they're writing and looking at the quality of what they're writing simultaneously. And as a result, very rarely does that first draft meet the standards of our critical left brain, so we end up deleting it. The smart thing is to just get out a D-minus report really fast and then go back with your left brain and just edit the heck out of it, make it beautiful, take it up to an A+, And if you just did that one simple thing, you didn't delete something just because it didn't look good enough. You left it there and you kept going. What you'll have is a coherent string of ideas that aren't expressing themselves at a high level of quality, but have the content that you need in the right sequence. And then it's much easier to increase the quality of the writing, use better description, tighten up the style so it meets a more professional level of perfection. I thought what I would do with the time we have today is to give people some solid, easy-to-follow strategies. And the reason I know they work, I owned the school. We had a large number of kids, 11 to 15, writing 28-page MLA-cited reports. That's college level. At the graduate level, remember they were 11 years old, in 4 hours, consistently. So what I'm about to share with you has been proven to work over and over again, even with people as young as 11. One of the first things I like to do is I like to get my ideas down. So I have on the top of the page what it is I want to speak about or what it is I'm trying to create. And then I just let my ideas flow freely, free associate. Don't criticize it. Don't critique it. Just let your ideas pop out. Just making a list. And some of the ideas will repeat themselves. So I'll give an example. One of the things I use in my writing program is if you had somebody came to a very large sum of money, what would you do? So some of the answers you typically see is I would save it, I'd invest it, I'd do charity, I'd go on a trip. And then what will happen is your brain will say some of those things, I'll go on a trip, I'll save it, I'll invest it. And what a lot of people will say, well, that's it, I've got my list done. What you really want to do is keep going and write down the duplicates. Don't critique them. Don't stop the flow. Because what will happen is even though you're writing five or six things several times, seventh thing, an eighth thing, a ninth thing, a tenth thing will come out because you gave yourself permission to continue in the non-critical flow state. So what we've done is by putting a specific title or topic on the top of the page, that's a left brain activity. It's very specific. And then giving our right brain permission to just identify ideas it associates with that, that's very flowy. And so we're allowing those ideas to flow. Now, once we've got our list, we're going to see, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of duplicates, things that we can't use, things that don't make sense, but they just came out anyway. And you could delete the duplicates, and you can get rid of things that really don't fit. And then here's the secret sauce. And I think you want to make sure you pay close attention to this. Block and copy the list. What you want to do is make sure your list is in the right order. So the first topic is first, the second topic is second. You can kind of move it around. If you have a very short list, like 10, 15 things, take a pencil, put a little mark next to each item, number one, number two. Then suddenly you realize number two needs to be number four. Because it's a pencil, you could erase it and move it around. If you have a very large list, like you might when you're writing a book, instead of making the list on a pad, you might want to use 3x5 cards. So you can shuffle the cards around. I've written several books. And by shuffling the cards around, you can move your ideas up or down really, really quickly and effectively. And it allows you to juggle massive amounts of data into a logical sequence quickly. So now you've got your ideas. And you've got them laid out linearly. This is the first, the second, the third, the fourth. Perfect. And here's where it gets interesting. You have that list on your word processor, and you block and copy it. You just basically take your mouse, you highlight everything, you hit the copy key, and then you hit the enter key about five times, so you go below it. And then you hit the paste key. What you've done is you've made a duplicate of your list. And the list that's on the top becomes like your contents page, the sequence of your topics. And the list on the bottom becomes your work area. And here's where it becomes really, really interesting. When we went to school and we took exams and we had to take an essay test, nobody sat around wondering if what they wrote was beautiful or eloquent or publishable. All you really were concerned with is I have 5 minutes and I've got to write 3 or 4 essays. The clock's ticking. I need to get this done. We're going to replicate that situation because we spent so many years doing it when we were younger. And we're going to treat each item on our duplicated list as if it was a test question on an essay exam. And the beauty of the word processor is we can move the cursor down to the first item or the second item or the third item, wherever we want, hit the enter key, and then start writing. Writing as if the clock was ticking. You had to finish this. You were on a limited time, which is true for most speakers. We are on limited time. And you begin writing what comes to mind that fills in the blank of the question, whatever it is you're writing about. You continually write. And then you go to the next question and the next question and the next question. You deal with each item on the list as if it was an essay test question. And when you're done, you'll have a good D-minus report. Now all you need to do is go back and begin editing. And as you begin editing, you're filling in the blanks. Suddenly, your brain is going to find better words, better sequences, better choices, and what started off as a group of ideas that you flushed out becomes an A-plus product or presentation. So that's the first step. Did you have any questions that you would like to ask, or you'd like me to just continue? I'm going to just continue. I'm going to do what I just taught. I'm going to just continue. Okay. Another thing that you want to do, and this is one of my favorite things, when I was in the Guinness Record Book in 1990 as the world's fastest reader. I was very proud of the fact no one's ever replaced my claim in all these years. Another Guinness record holder is Paul McCartney. He actually holds the record for the most published songs in history. That's a pretty prestigious guy. He knows what he's doing. Plus, he's made $1 billion, which is nothing to sneeze at. That's a creative guy who's actually made his creativity pay off. And they did an interview with him some years back, and I found it very, very interesting. He revealed his creativity secret. And what he did, and John Lennon did, is they would play a song somebody else had already written, and they'd listen to it over and over again until it kind of imprinted itself on them. Then they'd start changing the key it was in, they changed the tempo, they changed the chords, they changed the notes, they changed the lyrics, they changed the chords, they changed the notes. They just keep rewriting it, rewriting it, rewriting it. And by the time they were done, there was nothing left of the original song. It became a new song. And they said, well, how well did it work? He was the most prolific songwriter in history. There's actually 3 ways we as speakers can use this strategy to create new presentations and profitable products. The first thing we can knock off is the structure that is being used to create a piece of work. So if you're reading a book and you're looking at the book, you're saying the way this person used headings and bold and underlining, the way this person used sidebars and pictures and charts, that would be perfect for my book or my presentation. And what you do is you copy out 2 or 3 chapters to become familiarized, just like the Beatles did. They played the song over and over again. Become familiar with the structuring strategy used by that writer. And now that you're creating something, you're actually using what they had, stop copying and start putting your own ideas into that same scaffold, that same structure, and continue to write, but this time writing about what's important to you, doing your own topic. And what's happening is you're using the structure that they had put in place that worked well in that other text, in your presentation or in your ebook or your book or whatever it is you're creating. So that's one way of quickly transitioning into a new product or a new presentation. A second thing you can do to knock off what someone else has created is to mimic their style. You know, different speakers have different styles. Some tell funny stories, some play the guitar, some do more of a lecture, some do more interaction. Everyone has a style. So writers are the same. They have styles. Some like big words, some like little words, some have big sentences, some have short sentences. Find a style you like, something that's been proven to be successful, and basically write down two or three chapters of the material verbatim, just like Paul and John did. And what you're doing is learning the style of this creative person. And then stop writing what they did and continue writing what you want to create using that same style, the same way of expressing the ideas. Of course, you're going to delete what you copied, and what's left now is your own original material following a template or style that's been proven to work repeatedly. In fact, there's actually a very good movie that describes the process. Sean Connery was in many years ago. It was called Finding Forrester, and he played the part of a Pulitzer Prize-winning writer. He had a young disciple who was learning to be a creative writer, and he basically was using some of his old writings as the inspiration for his new works. I mean, it was a pretty good demonstration of how that worked. Now, there's a third tool. I think this is the one everybody's going to get excited over. It's actually a tool called the Best Spinner. You want to write that down, and I don't sell it, so just giving you this as a gift. It's called the Best Spinner. And what the Best Spinner will do, let's say one of your speaking competitors has a brilliant website. It's converting well, and you go, boy, I wish I had that on my website, or they wrote an ebook, or something else. Say, boy, I wish I wrote that. You could take someone else's copy that was written by them, that's well written, and put it in the spinner. And you push a button, it rewrites it. So you can actually get it to the point where it rewrites it so it's 97, 98% different. So it's instantly rewriting. But I never, ever, ever use a spun article. Some people do. I don't think that's something I'm comfortable with. What I do is I use the spun article as my starting point for writing something totally different, sort of like Paul and John did. I remove paragraphs, I put new paragraphs in. I take out sentences, I put new sentences in. I take out examples that was in the original and put in my own examples. And by the time I'm done, I've completely changed what I was working with to a brand new, completely unique piece of work that never has been seen before or done before. What I've done is I've used someone else's creativity as my inspiration, as my structure. So in a sense, we're doing what I spoke about earlier on steroids. We're using that left brain structure, and then we're taking the right brain and we're blasting through it with new insights and creativity. And we're taking somebody's structure that existed, we're spinning it so it's unique and different to begin with, and then we're rewriting the spun material. And suddenly we have all of this unique material that we're creating. By the way, one of the things you can do as a writer is use articles to get yourself booked. I'm going to show you how you can leverage one article as a unique piece of material you could sell over and over again, or offer over and over again, first right privileges to the same material, basically. So let's say I'm doing a speed reading article, how electricians in the state of Texas can quickly learn the new codes and new electrical material. And I write an article for electricians about how to use speed reading strategies to read electrical codes and the technical things that a person in that industry would need to know. And they give first industry state rights to the Electrical Association in Texas, and they put it in their journal, and they wind up hiring me to speak at a conference. I take that same article, and they offer it to the Electrical Association in Oklahoma, and they give them first regional state rights to that industry. And then I do that in Arkansas, and I do it in California. And so I can literally use that one article in all 50 states and give one electrical association the rights in that state to use that single article. But it doesn't stop there. I can then take the same essential article and rewrite it so it talks about plumbing and plumbing codes and what plumbers need to know, because the strategy of writing, of learning is the same, whether you're an electrician or a neurosurgeon. Learning is learning, writing is writing. It's the same. What's different is what they read. And so I write essentially the same story, but I change my examples to plumbing examples. And now I give first industry state rights to plumbers in Texas and in Oklahoma. And then Arkansas, and now I have another 50 articles going out to another niche. Then I rewrite it again for doctors. I can niche it down to it could be optometrists, it can be podiatrists. I can actually niche it. So suddenly, this one article that has the ability of getting me in front of an audience of potential customers as a speaker can be written thousands and thousands and thousands of times for different niches in different states, and each niche is getting exclusivity to that particular niche in that particular state. And what you're doing now is you're leveraging your ability to write. Does that make sense? Are you there? Okay. I'm not sure. I'm just going to continue then. So basically now what we've done is we've learned several strategies for writing super fast and doing a really good job. I thought what I would do next is talk about one more thing, which is staying focused. One of the things we want to do is tap into our creativity. Meditation can be very powerful. It's very biblical, but it's very powerful. And one of the ways to do it, you can take a passage out of whatever Bible you feel comfortable with, and you basically sit quietly with your eyes closed and you repeat the passage over and over again in your head for about 15, 20 minutes. What this does is it ignites the alpha theta state inside the brain. And that's the state you want to be in when you're creating new programs, when you're writing new speeches, when you're creating new products and new services. And so you can switch it on. Now, here's a little trick. So you can switch it on quickly when you need to. Every time you go into that state and you feel super relaxed and very creative, gently squeeze your left earlobe and say, "I feel creative." If you do this enough times, eventually, when you need to get in a creative state right away to do a report or a product or a new workshop, gently squeeze your left earlobe and say, "I feel creative," and your brain will remember all of the times in the past when you linked that state of creativity to the squeezing of the left earlobe. And you can turn on your creativity like a sponge and just release it. So it's really, really easy to do. I wanted to share with you also at the very end, I'm getting close to the end, there is a website I set up just for you. It's called fromhoward.com/PSA writing. It's fromhoward.com/PSA writing. I actually have a full writing program that you might find useful in your work. But one of the reasons I wanted you to go to that page is I've created something there that will be very useful to you as a speaker. And that's a cartoon. There's a new piece of software that every speaker should know about. It's called Easy Sketch Pro 2. And what it does, if you've ever been online and you've seen somebody doing a presentation and they're speaking and it looks like there's a pen moving and they're drawing a picture while they're speaking, It's very engaging. Well, this particular piece of software will create the illusion of someone drawing your text while you're speaking. So what you can do with this is you can use this in your products and in your presentations and in your sales equipment. When you're trying to sell yourself to an organization, you could send them to a page that has a cartoon, and the cartoon highlights the benefits of having you as a speaker. It highlights what topics you speak on. This is all about creating writing. And because it's a cartoon, it's very engaging. You could literally have pictures and diagrams pop up on the screen, and the pen will automatically draw them in. You can put in words and text. You can even dub it. You can speak into a microphone and have a soundtrack. Or as I've done on your cartoon, I just put in a music soundtrack to keep it simple and uncluttered. And so you can use these cartoons as intros to sections in your ebook, sections in your DVD presentations. You can use them on your sales pages and landing pages and websites to create more interest in what you do as a speaker. And you could even put them into a PowerPoint as a flash, or you could use a WMV file, Windows Media File, and stick them in a PowerPoint and play a little cartoon if you're using PowerPoint during a presentation. So these are all little strategies. They're easy to learn. They're easy to use. They're something that will help all of you become more successful as speakers. Again, it was from howard.com/PSA writing. That's from howard.com/PSA writing. And I was going to ask, if Tanya, would you like to ask any questions as we wrap this up? Do you have something
you'd
like
fantastic.
To say?
No, that was fantastic. And that was Easy Sketch what?
Easy Sketch Pro 2. Google it. It's a fantastic tool. If you want to see it being used, go to howard.com/PSA writing. And there's an opportunity, of course, there to get my writing program, but if you just want to see the cartoon itself and see what it does and how it works and how you can use that same piece of software on your websites and in your presentations and sales pages, you're welcome to do that as well.
Perfect. And I highly suggest that y'all jump in on Howard's stuff. My husband and I have bought his packages before and been amazed as to how that has helped us. So thank you so much, Howard, for being on today.
Thank you. I hope to see you in